Amen. The International Day of the Bible, I want to talk about the Word of God today. We're going to turn in our Bibles to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 4. It's right after the book of Proverbs. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. It's the book before Song of Solomon. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. And starting our reading in verse 4. It says these words. It says, "Where the word of a king is, there is," what does it say? "Power." Where the word of a king is, there is power. And in an earthly sense, when the king speaks, things get done. But how much more in the spiritual sense, when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords speaks, when his word proceeds out of his mouth. If an earthly king's words have power, how much more power is there in the words of the King of Kings? Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou, or what are you doing? Who can question the king? There is power in the words of the king. Psalm 119, verse 133. If you ever want to read a chapter in the Bible which speaks about the power and the importance of God's word, you read Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 33. And I want you to emphasize the word "my" when we read it, and the word "me," because this applies to us. Psalm 119, verse 133. "Order my steps." Everyone say "my steps." Let's read it again. "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." Order my steps, David said, in your word. God, I want my steps to be ordered and reordered according to your word. "And let not any iniquity have dominion over me." Another version says, let not myself become overcome by evil. Order my steps in thy word. Where the word of a king is, there is power. I want to simply speak on this title, the power of God's word. The power of God's word. Let's pray before we go any further. Lord Jesus, we just thank you. Thank you for the privilege of being able to open your word today. Thank you for this sacred time, oh God, Lord, where we will hear your word preached. Lord God, and I pray, Lord, that faith would come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That, Lord, as we leave this place today, Lord, that we would order and, Lord, that we would reorder our steps according to your word. Lord, we acknowledge, Lord, that there is power in your word. And so we celebrate that today. But Lord, we also bow and submit to your word, oh God. Help us to receive your word into our hearts and let your word do a work in our lives that no man can do. And we'll be sure to give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody say in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The power of God's word. A title fitting for today, the International Day of the Bible, as we talk about the power of God's word. The Bible sits on the desk, it sits on bedside tables, it sits on bookshelves of millions of people. Many of us, maybe you're here today and you have a Bible that has been passed down to you from generation to generation. Maybe you're here today and you're holding that Bible that has been passed down to you. Maybe you can go back to your bookshelf at home, and for many people, you've been passed a Bible from your great-great-grandparents or your great-great-grandparents, and it is a very, very special, it's a very special gift that has been passed to you. You see, the Bible is the best-selling book of all time. Everyone say all time. And even although it is being debated today, and even though people are trying to eliminate the Bible from our society, the Bible is very, very much a respected book, even by people of other religions. Now, in this day and age, the year 2019, in the time that we are living, there seems to be an unprecedented attack on the Bible. In fact, I find it so interesting that you can end up in court for quoting scriptures. But when you go to court, they hand you a Bible. The very thing you quoted, they hand you a Bible and they ask you to promise to put your hand on that Bible. You see, we're in a time of transition where the world is trying to eliminate any reference to the Word of God. But I've come to remind you today that the best book to read is the Bible. And that there is power in the Word of God. For where the word of a king is, there is power. And so I praise God that now the Bible is more accessible now than it has ever been before. We have all the digital ways of accessing the Bible through digital apps and smartphones and tablets. And now, even in so many languages, the Bible has been now translated. The Bible contains 66 specific books. Does anybody know how many books are in the Old Testament? 39 books in the Old Testament. Now, if you do your maths, you can easily figure out this next question. But if you don't, how many books are in the New Testament? 27 books in the New Testament. You see, the Bible was written by 40 authors from three different continents around over a period of 1,600 years. And although it's written across continents over 1,600 around that many years, although it was written by 40 different authors, it maintains one consistent message that points unerringly and unmistakably, it all points to Jesus Christ. This book that we have, and I don't even like to call it a book, it's the Holy Bible. It is like no other book. This book is a supernatural book. This book is powerful. My life has been changed by this book. The Bible is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Everything I need in life, I can find in the Word of God. It transforms me. It's like any other book in the world. It is the Holy Bible. And if you've got one today, you're one of the privileged. Because many don't have a Bible. Shepherds, kings, scholars, fishermen, prophets, military generals, cupbearers, priests, they all were part of the penning of the scriptures. And the word says that it was all written under the inspiration. Yes, written by the hands of men, but under the inspiration of God. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, a very important scripture says this. All scripture, everyone say all. Okay, I'm going to get really theological now. I was going to say theological. That shows you how smart I am. Theological, that's right. Going to get very theological, and I'm just going to give you a little bit of explanation on that first word. It says all. You know what all means? It means all. That means that doesn't matter if a book in the Bible or a chapter makes you feel uncomfortable, it all is given by inspiration of God. Another version says it is God-breathed, God-inspired. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And all Scripture is profitable. It's going to profit you. And how's it going to profit? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction. You know, there's going to be times when you read the Bible and it's going to correct you. You're going to look at it and say, hang on, I was walking down a different path. Now the Bible's kind of knocked me back on the right path. It's because the Bible is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. If you want to live a holy and righteous life, if you want to be saved, then you live according to the Word of God. it is profitable for instruction in righteousness. Don't let any man or any committee tell you what righteousness is. Yes, go to the Word of God. Make sure you check the Word of God, because righteousness is not based on any man's ideas. Righteousness is based on the Word of God, because the Word of God is profitable for instruction in righteousness. And so God has intended, God has inspired every word of Scripture. He is the original author. He used authors to pen it, but he breathed, he inspired every single word in our Bible. And so, do you think about it, 40 different authors. Do you think that it seems reasonably possible that 40 men from different backgrounds, scattered across more than 1,000 years in time, let's just think about this. Do you think that they could design 66 different components of a machine or an engine, all right? Across all different continents, 40 men with 66 metal components, and then they come together and they put all their pieces together, and you know what? They have suddenly got a machine that revolutionizes the whole world. Do you think that would be possible? That 40 different people could just make 40 different components. They come together in one place and they all just go together, and suddenly we've got a machine that is perfect, it doesn't contradict, and it revolutionizes the whole world. That's exactly what happened with our Bible. This Word of God, this Holy Bible, has revolutionized the world. It is God-breathed. It is God-inspired. And that is why it is so powerful. Everyone say powerful. And you know, many, many have tried to destroy God's Word. However, by God's grace, His Word has been preserved. His Word has been protected today. And so I want you to realize the tremendous privilege you have to have a Bible. I travel into remote areas, and people just, they cherish their Bible. It is their most precious possession. Even at our orphanage, those children, that if they can get a Bible, they treasure it. We have a tremendous privilege of having a Bible. But you know what? Just having a Bible is not enough. But if you begin to read it, if you begin to let it speak to your heart, if you begin to let the light of God's Word shine in your heart, it's more than just having a Bible, but it begins to transform you. You begin to experience the power of the Word of God. 1 Peter 1 verse 25 says, "The Word of God," or "the Word of the Lord, endures forever." I saw a quote and it really kind of spoke to me. And there, apparently there's a painting out there somewhere which has an anvil, and it has all these hammers that are broken as people have tried to destroy the anvil, but their hammer has broken. And they talk about God's Word as an anvil. And this man, Samuel Valentine Cole, said, "Hammer away, you hostile hands. Your hammers break, God's anvil stands." People have desired, people have tried to destroy it, people have tried to do away with it, yet God's Word still stands. God, in a supernatural way, has sustained His Word through generations. He has sustained His Word through centuries of attacks. Numerous tyrants have tried to abolish the Word of God. In the last two centuries, critics have come against the Bible, but there they are. Modern archaeologists continue to dig up the evidence and show us that the Word of God is true, that it is historically correct, that it is scientifically correct, that it is inspired of God. It is powerful. Everybody say powerful. 25 years ago, Time magazine said, "After more than two centuries of facing the heaviest scientific guns that could be brought to bear, the Bible has survived and is perhaps better for the siege." Over 100 years ago, Charles Spurgeon said this. He says, "If you want to be thought very wise today," how many people want to be thought wise? Okay, listen to this quote. "If you want to be thought very wise today, but look very foolish in about 50 years, attack the Bible." If you want to be thought wise today and foolish in 50 years, then bring an attack against the Bible. Point out all the errors, but if you're willing to be foolish now and thought foolish now, but believing that in 50 years that you'll be vindicated, then stand on the word of God. I want to tell you, I stand on the word of God. I don't care. People can point fingers and throw stones. They can criticize the Bible. They can bring every attack against the word of God. But I've come to tell you that flower may fade, the grass may wither, but God's word stands true and God's word will stand forever. I choose to stand on the word of God. We've got to stand up for the word of God. People may laugh at you right now, but let me tell you, if we tarry, if we're still here in 50 years' time, people will say, man, you were smarter than you looked. You were wise, but the truth is we stood on the word of God. People may discredit the Bible, but there's so much evidence in this ancient book that God inspired it. Look at this. The first thing is that the Bible told us that the life is in the blood. That was way back then. The life is in the blood. Leviticus 17 verse 11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now this has only been recently comprehended by scientists in recent years that the blood is the source of life. Scientists, mankind have only just kind of figured this out in the last little while. But God from the very beginning established it, that the life is in the blood. And so mankind found out what God already knew. Funny that. The life is in the blood. Only in recent years, relatively recent years, has science discovered that everything we see is composed of invisible atoms. But God's word already told us that. Things which are seen were made of things which do not appear. That the things that we hold, the tangible things that we hold in our hands, are made up of things that you can't see with the eye. Everything is composed of atoms. God already told us that in His Word. Medical science has only recently discovered. I tried to find pictures that are suitable. I can't find a good picture for this one. I'm sorry. Medical science has only recently discovered that blood clotting in newborn babies reaches its peak. And I checked this out on all the medical sites. Blood clotting in newborn babies reaches its peak on the eighth day. And then after that, the clotting agent drops. The Bible consistently says that a baby must be circumcised in the Jewish tradition on the what day? The eighth day. God already knew that. Scientists are only just starting to figure it out, that clotting in blood is it best at its best in 8 days. God's word already told us. If only the scientists would look at the word of God. A lot of people believed lots of things about the earth. And at the time, it was at a time it was believed that the earth sat, believe it or not, on a large animal. That the earth sat on a large animal, or the earth sat on a giant. That is in 1500 BC, the Bible spoke of the earth's free float in space. Job says in Job 26 verse 7, He hangs the earth upon nothing. God's word told us already that the earth floats in space. God's word told us that. A lot of people, and there's still some people around here that believe in a flat earth. I don't know. But the prophet Isaiah told us that the earth was round. It says in Isaiah 40 verse 22, it is He that sits upon the what of the earth? The circle of the earth. It was already in God's word. Secular man discovered this 2,400 years later, but God already settled it. He said the earth is round. It is He that sits. God sits on the circle of the earth. Science has also discovered that stars emit radio waves. And I went onto YouTube and you can see the radio waves that the stars emit. People are amazed. They didn't know, wow, the stars are actually emitting a sound. We can't hear it with the human ear, but instruments have been able to measure that the stars are emitting a sound. But Job, the book of Job already told us that. God mentioned this in Job 38 verse 7 when He said, when the morning stars sang together. Solomon described the circle of the air currents. 2,000 years before the science discovered the air currents that go around the world. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 6, it says, the wind goes towards the south and turns about to the north, and it whirls about continually, and the wind returns again according to his circuits. You see, God's word already told us that. It was man thousands of years later that discovered it, but God's word already told us that. You see, it is all one story. It's a story about God, that how much he loves his creation, and that how he paid the price to save us from our sins. There is power in the word of God. There is power in the word of God. The Old Testament points forward to Jesus. The New Testament centers on Jesus and then points towards the second coming of Jesus Christ. We are so blessed. Church, I want you to understand this. We are so blessed to have a Bible. We are so blessed. And I just want to encourage you. This holy Bible deserves our utmost respect. You know, you take your phone everywhere. But you know, there's something special when you take your Bible. It's like you mean business. You know, everything else is in the Bible. You got on your phone, you've got all these other apps and multi-purpose. But this is one purpose. It points us to Jesus Christ. It gives us instruction on how to live a righteous life. How to live according to God's word. We are so blessed to have a Bible. Now, I know people, and I think they're right. I don't think it applies to everybody. You know, maybe it's not your conviction, but I know some people that will never even put their keys on top of their Bible. They will not put another book on top of the Bible. I know some people, they will not even place their Bible on the ground. Whatever you have to do to show respect, you ought to respect this holy Bible. But the greatest thing you can do is to read it and let it read you. Read it. No message preached in this church can have any effect unless it's first founded on the Word of God. My prayer today, on this day, the International Day of the Bible, is that you would have a fresh love for the Word of God. Amen? A fresh love for the Word of God. We read in our text, it says, David said, order my steps in your Word. Order my steps. Oh God, I don't just want to read your Word, but I want to order my steps in your word. You see, there is something very, very powerful when we allow our life to be ordered by the word of God. And I pray today that God would search our hearts and that God would cause us to begin to order and to reorder our life and our steps according to his word. You see, when you sow God's word into your heart, when you sow God's word into your life, it will begin to produce fruit. The Bible says that the word of God will never return void. This is not just man's book. I've come to tell you that this is God's book, and it has power like no other book in the world. It's the power of the word of God. When you open up the pages of the Holy Bible, you don't have to get very far, and you begin to read just in the first chapters. In the first chapter or first couple of chapters, nine times, no fewer than nine times in the first chapter, the scripture declares, it says, and God said, 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 let there be light. God said, let there be a firmament. God spoke, and it came to being. There is power. We see it from the very beginning of the scriptures. The first chapter, we see the power of God's word. There is no doubt, there should be no doubt in your mind, there is no doubt in my mind that it matters what God says, and that there is power in God's word. There is power when God speaks. For where the word of a king is, there is power. Order my steps, O God, in your word. Order my steps. You know, we are living in a time of chaos. There's chaos in the world. I want to tell you, we may be nervous, but God is not nervous. But God is still all powerful. God is still looking for a people to use. God is still, you're looking for a church to use. God is still looking for a people who are going to pray the prayer. They're going to open their Bible. They're going to meditate on the Word of God. And they're going to say, God, order my steps in your Word. I want to have a godly order. I don't want to have the chaos that this world has. Let me tell you why the world is in chaos. Because they've erred from the ways of the Word of God. But if you want to have order in your life, you've got to pray that prayer. God, when I read your word, let my steps be ordered by your word. The first question mark in the Bible is in the book of Genesis. Before that question, which was a question of the word of God, when Satan through the serpent said, hath God said? The question mark. Before that question, before there was a question about what God said, before there was a question about the word of God, there was order. Everything was perfect. But the moment the question came, after the question, there was chaos. There was death. Sin came into the world. Genesis 3 verse 1 says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord hath made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said? Question mark. Has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The first question mark comes from a statement from the snake, questioning God's word. Before the question, there was order. After the question, there was chaos. I want to encourage this church today that you would pray that prayer, that you would look into the word of God, and you would say, I don't want to just read it, but I want to apply the word to my life. I want to order my steps according to the word of God. God has an order. Everyone say an order. Tells us how to worship because God has an order. In fact, Cain, he came and he was coming to worship God. God had already told him how to worship. There had to be a blood sacrifice. There had to be the outpouring of blood. And Cain came and he thought, you know what? I got an idea. I know God said there needs to be a blood sacrifice in worship, but I've got some good fruit of the ground and I'm going to bring that in worship. It's important to me, he said. It's important, it's special, this fruit. But Cain brought what he thought was right, not what God said. And the Bible says God rejected it because it was not according to his divine plan. God has an order when it comes to worship. Human reasoning may say, well, Cain, what you did was enough. We know how special your fruit and vegetables are to you, but God always has a plan. God always has an order. And if Cain had only just looked at what God said, he could have said, you know what? I want to do it according to God's order. God has an order for worship. We think of the tabernacle plan. We studied it earlier on this year about all of the different pieces of furniture in the tabernacle. You couldn't get into the Holy of Holies without going through all the specific pieces of the tabernacle, because even in the tabernacle plan, it shows us that God has an order. I believe that if Moses didn't follow God's word, there would have been no presence of God in the Holy of Holies. I want to tell you, when you depart from the ways of God, when you depart from the Word of God, when you no longer order your steps in the Word of God, when you rebel against the Word of God, there will be no presence of God in your life either. There's an order for salvation. Noah, to save his family, was told to build an ark. God said to Noah, he said, I want you to use this type of timber. I want you to make it this long. I want you to make it this wide. I want the windows to be like this. There's to be one door. And he told him exactly how to build the ark. And I believe that if Noah might have gone down to Bunnings, if they had Bunnings back in Bible days, he would have said to the guy in Bunnings, he said, hey, have you got any gopher wood? He goes, oh, we've got gopher wood, but it's quite expensive. Do you think you might like to go for the marine ply or the pine? Now, I believe that if Noah had changed God's plan, you know, just looking to do something good, save a bit of money. But if Noah had changed God's plan and built it with pine or marine ply, not using gopher wood like God told him, I don't believe that the ark would have floated. I don't believe that if he had changed God's plan, that his family would have been saved. You see, when it comes to salvation, God has an order. 1 Peter 3 verse 20 says, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is only 8 souls, were saved by water. We think about God's order. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, after 400 years of being in that country of Egypt and being held hostages and slaves, they cried out to God, and God sent them a deliverer. God sent them Moses. They came out. They had to go. That last one was the angel of death that would pass over every house. And God said, you know, you've got to follow the plan. You've got to apply the blood to the doorposts and the lintels. You've got to do just that as I say. And when they did what God told them, when they followed God's order, that angel of death passed over the house. God has a plan when it comes to salvation. We read in Matthew 16, verse 19, that Peter was given the keys to the kingdom. And in the New Testament church, he preached the gospel. He preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in Acts chapter 2. And then the crowd said, what must we do? What steps must we follow? And Peter preached. He said, Acts 2:38 says, Peter said unto them, repent. There's an order. We must repent of our sins before we can go anywhere in God. We've got to repent of our sins, turn around. And then he said, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see, God always has an order. Everyone say order. He has an order for our worship. He has an order for salvation. He has an order for everything in our life. God, I want you to order my steps according to your word. I don't want my steps ordered according to Instagram. I don't want to be like other people, what other people are doing. I don't want my steps to be ordered according to Hollywood or Disney or according to the magazine that I read. I don't even want my steps to be ordered according to the church that I attend. No, order my steps according to the Word of God. We've got to get back, church. Listen to me. We've got to get back to the Word of God. Find a pastor. Find a preacher. Find somebody that is going to preach the Scriptures to you. Order my steps according to the Word of God. We are told how to order our life when it comes to our affection. Everyone say affection. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. The Bible tells us how to order our affection. It tells us how to order our priorities. Everyone say priorities. Matthew 6 verse 33 says, we are told to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We are told that we have to have an order when it comes to our ambition in life, to seek first. Seek. Everyone say seek. That means it's active. It's a deliberate action. You're not going to accidentally find the kingdom of God. You have to seek it. It is deliberate action. Then the next word, seek ye first. First speaks of order. It doesn't mean second. It must be first. And then the kingdom. That's the ultimate purpose. That the kingdom is the place where the king rules, the king's domain. And so we have an order for worship. We have an order for salvation. We have an order for our affections. We have an order for ambitions. You see, God is a God of order. Order my steps according to thy word. You see, if you want to hear a testimony of a man who was ordered by God's word, you only need to look at David. He made mistakes. Yes. Give me a nod. Did he make mistakes? Yes. But look at what he writes in Psalm 119. He says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. That's verse 11. Then in verse 105, he says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. 105. He says in 128, I esteem all thy precepts according to all things to be right, and I hate every false way. We know about all the problems that David faced. We know that he fell into sin. We know that he made some awful failures and there was confusion in David's life. But he continually allowed his life to be ordered by God's word. Even though he made mistakes, he came back to the word of God. You see, and the Lord always brought David's life back into a divine order. Why? Because he was submitted to the word of God. Because he loved the word of God. He kept coming back to the word of God. And wherever you are today, in whatever condition your life is today, let this preacher tell you, bring your life back into alignment with the word of God. And say, God, order my steps according to your word. Paul warns in the last days in 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 11. It says, and God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. How are people going to believe a lie? Look at this. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They lost their love for the word. The Bible says that when they lost their love for the word, that it opened up the gates for the rule of the Antichrist in the last days. You may wonder, how can a Christian believe? How can a Christian, you know, receive the mark? How can a Christian believe that the Antichrist is the Messiah? Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 10, it says, they receive not the love for the truth that they might be saved. The reason why they accepted the Antichrist as the Messiah is because they didn't love the Word of God. We've got to love the Word of God. It doesn't matter what churches are preaching, doesn't matter who's on TV and preaching what, we've got to get back to the Word of God. We've got to get back. You know, when I preach in this church, when anyone else preaches in this church, turn to the Scripture. Make sure it's in the Word of God. Make sure you can see it. We used to have a saying when I was growing up, whenever anyone said something, they would say, give me a scripture and verse for that. Back up what you're saying with the Word of God. Show me in the Scriptures. You see, we are going to be deceived. We are going to receive a strong delusion if we don't love the Word of God. Order my steps in your Word. God has more for your marriage if you would just order your steps in God's Word. God has more for your family if you would just order your steps in God's Word. God has more for this church. Let's continue to order our steps in His Word. Let's make Him King, because where the Word of the King is, there is power. And so I've come today, just in this short time, I've come to commend the Holy Scriptures of God to you today. There is no book like the Holy Bible. There is nothing like the Word of God. Some of us need to go home. We got to get the dust off it. You know, some of you, your Bibles look like it's. You look at your Bible and you say, look, it looks brand new still. Well, God forbid that our Bibles look brand new. You know, I got given this Bible from my dad, and it's a very good Bible. It's a great Bible. When I first got it, I was like, oh, it's too good to use. I'll just keep using my old one. Then one day I was sitting in my office and I looked at my Bible, and I'm like, one day I'm going to die, and this is going to end up with my sons. Okay? So I thought, and I never used to write any notes in it because it's too special to write any notes in it. One day I'm going to die, I'm going to give this Bible to my sons. And I thought to myself, I want to make sure they know I used it. So I stopped using my old Bible and started using the new one. I want to make it look old. But then I also thought, you know what? My old Bible has all notes all through it. I thought, you know what? I'm going to start writing in this too. I'm going to start writing some notes in. I'm going to start underlining some things. Because I'm going to give them a weapon. The Bible says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I'm going to give my children a weapon. Like a modern day weapon would be a gun. I'm going to give them a gun, the sword of the Spirit. And I don't want to give them a gun without any ammunition in it. I'm going to put notes in. I'm going to underline it. Because you know what? This is the most important thing. Because after I've gone, if they can have a love for the Word, if they can say, Lord, order my steps in your Word, my children are going to be all right, even though I'm not here. That's the power of God's word. And so I've come to commend to families. I've come to commend to singles. I've come to commend the Holy Scriptures to every married couple, that the foundation of our faith is not just history, but our foundation of our faith is the word of God. It's more than opinion. It's more. Our faith doesn't rest in the mortal musings of a man. Our faith rests and stands in the power of God's word. There is power in God's word. If the musicians could come as we finish. In Luke chapter 5, we read, and you can turn there in your Bibles. I don't know if I actually got it on the screen. Luke chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. Jesus told his disciples in Luke chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. He said, and Simon, there they are. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, Jesus had just told them they've been fishing all night. They've pulled the nets in, and I've used nets before. They get dirty, dragging them along the bottom of the ocean. They're full of weed, they're full of rocks, shells, scales of fish. And you don't want that. You don't want those things. They're going to sit in the sun. You got to try and clean them. You got to get the salt water off them so it doesn't deteriorate them. They've cleaned their nets. They've got all the weed out of it and the little shells. They've tidied everything up. Jesus said, hey guys, have you caught anything? He said, oh Jesus, we've been fishing all night, got nothing. Nothing. We've toiled all night. Look at what verse 4 says. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. Go let your nets out once more time. Simon Peter. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, I'm glad he spoke with some respect. You know, it's one thing to have a question, but don't allow yourself to have a spirit of questioning. You understand the difference? There's times when we might have questions about the Word of God. What does that mean? I feel to say this right now. Sometimes we read something and we say, I want to know what that means. I've got a question about that. And if you've got a question, Gian, what do? You ask. You know, some people, they say, oh, I've just got questions. I say, well, who are you asking? Well, no one yet. Just questions. Well, you're a fool if you've got questions and you don't ask questions to try to find the answer. But it's one thing to have a question. It's another thing to develop an attitude of questioning. An attitude of questioning is when you begin to question everything in the Word of God. And you have that attitude of questioning. Anyway, they said, Jesus, we've toiled all night. Master, we have toiled all night and we have taken nothing. But then look at this powerful word. The powerful word, nevertheless. Even so, Lord, because it's you that's speaking. Because it is you that is telling us to do it again. Because we have respect for you, Jesus. Because your word is powerful. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Jesus said to them, he said, go out and try again. Listen, in the same place that you just failed. Try again in the same place that you just failed. They said, but at the word of the Lord, we will put our nets down. Nevertheless, it's not blind faith. Some people think us Christians that we're all about blind faith, that it's not based on anything, that we're just blindly believing. No, it wasn't by blind faith that they cast their nets out. It was faith that is based on the word. They said, nevertheless, what? At thy word. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. It doesn't make sense to us. It doesn't make sense to everyone else that is fishing around here that we're going to do this again, because we've been out here all night and caught nothing. But nevertheless, because you told us, because of your word, we're going to let down our nets again. And look at this. There's blessing. We can celebrate obedience. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. You see, where the word of a king is, there is power. There is power in God's word. And I pray that somebody today would reorder and order your life according to the word of God. Let's stand in this place right now. There's power. There's power in the Word of God. And so today, I encourage everyone to go across to our Sunday school building. They've done a lot of preparation over the last couple of weeks in putting together a wonderful display. Take your time, and parents and adults, take your time to walk around each of the booths and talk to the children. They're going to be standing there. Talk to them. Ask them questions. Say, oh, this drawing, what is this? You know, be curious and ask them questions. It shows that you're interested in what they have been learning in Sunday school. But today, in preaching this message, my sole focus is to give you a fresh love for the Word of God. A fresh love for the Word of God. And there's so many ways. You know, obviously we hear preaching of the Word of God, but we've got Bible school, we've got Bible studies that you can do. There's so many ways that you can delve into the Word of God. You see, no man, doesn't matter how long you've been serving God, doesn't matter if you're a theologian, it doesn't matter what school you see you've been to, you can delve into the Word of God and there's still treasures yet to be found. No man can say, I know it all. No, you keep looking, you'll keep finding, because that's the power of God's Word. Lord, order my steps according to your Word.